With the ringing of the church bell, we welcome you to this hour of worship as it comes to you from Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Sweet Springs, Missouri, on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Our hymns are 782, 783, 837, 425, and 427. Pastor Alan Mueller's sermon is entitled Walking with God and is taken from Micah 6, verses 1 through 8. Welcome.
Good morning. It is so good to be here with you this morning, and I'm so thankful that the good Lord has brought us here together to come before Him and to receive His many blessings, spiritual blessings and earthly blessings to support our body and life. And I thank Him that He continues to feed us with His words of promises this morning. May we come before Him and sing our first hymn together, number 782. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness. Therefore, you are feared. Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together, as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O Lord, who shall sojourn in your tent? Who shall dwell on your holy hill? He who walks blamelessly and does what is right and speaks truth in his heart, who does not slander with his tongue and does no evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his friend, in whose eyes a vile person is not despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, who does not put out his money at interest, and does not take a bribe against the innocent. He who does these things shall never be moved. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, you know we live in the midst of so many dangers that in our frailty we cannot stand upright. Grant strength and protection to support us in all dangers and carry us through all temptations. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. May be seated as we get to hear from God's word. Our Old Testament reading for this morning comes from the book of Micah, chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Arise, plead your case before the mountains, and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the indictment of the Lord, and you enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has an indictment against his people, and he will contend with Israel. O my people, what have I done to you? How have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt, and redeemed you from the house of slavery. And I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember what Balak, king of Moab, devised, what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him, and what happened to Shittim and Gilgal, and you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord, and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Would the Lord be pleased with 1,000 of rams, with 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The epistle reading comes from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 1. The word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that are not, to bring to nothing things that are, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. He is the source of your life in Christ Jesus, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please stand. Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory be to you, O Lord. Seeing the crowds, Jesus went up on the mountain, and when he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you, and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess the Christian faith together. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. You may be seated for our hymn of the day, number 783.
Thank you.
A good memory verse, which I want to leave with you all this morning, is found in our Old Testament reading. And I'm sure many of you know it already. In fact, just last week, somebody quoted it in our Bible study. And this is a verse which I think should be in everybody's wheelhouse. Micah 6:8. He has told you, O man, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. When you read through the entire passage, though, that last phrase especially of walking humbly with your God really hits hard. And that's because I think verses 1 and 2 really sets the stage for us this morning. You get this terrifying and yet awesome image. The Lord Almighty calls upon the mountains to hear his indictment against his people. When you read through the scripture, it's actually surprising to know just how often creation itself gets personified. David says, for example, that the heavens declare the glory of God. We remember on Palm Sunday, when Jesus is entering into Jerusalem, he says that if the crowds were to keep silent, that the very stones themselves would cry out. And on the last day, here it almost seems that the mountains themselves might give testimony against the world. And if you two were to think about that, the mountains truly make the best witnesses. For those mountains have been there since the dawn of creation. Those mountains and hills have been there long before Israel was ever a people, and long before their footsteps ever graced their hilltops. The mountains, in this sense, have seen everything. They're the perfect historians, so to speak. The perfect witnesses witnessing all of human history. They also have seen the unfailing, loving kindness of the Lord. And they have witnessed his unending mercy and grace, which he has poured out upon his people. Likewise, have the hills seen man's bloodshed? The mountains have looked and they have seen their folly. They have seen the false idols and the tendency for man to go astray. And so, here God seems to imply that now they stand ready to bear testimony. Give witness, O mountains, of God's great compassion and of the people's great folly. Hear the indictment of the Lord against his people. Verse 3, O my people, what have I done to you? And how have I wearied you? This is God's complaint. Simply put, what have I done to you, and what have I left undone for you? What but good, and what but mercy, what but selflessness have I ever shown towards you? Have I wearied you with my divine favor? Have I exhausted your patience by simply being too compassionate and too forgiving towards you? Testify against me, the Lord says. And whatever you have to say, tell it to the mountains. Surely they will give you a fair hearing. They are standing ready to be witnesses. And so bring your complaint. Let them decide. Truly, they'll be able to either confirm or deny whatever accusations we may bring. Give reason, God says, then for why you have so turned away from him and done that which is evil. Like I said, that is such a dreadful message. God calling creation to be witnesses against his people. And yet surely, dear friends, when we look over the course of our own lives, you and I should find no complaint that we could ever lodge before God. Go over every day you have ever drawn a breath, and you can find no complaint by which we could bring against the Almighty. For of course, he is the Lord. And that means that he is objectively, by all standards, good. He is in fact the author of goodness and the standard by which everything must be measured. He is by nature himself love. Search throughout the heavens and the earth and see how all good things have their origin in God, and how every evil thing finds its origin in opposition to him. He who loves God, it is said, loves life and peace, and every good and perfect gift comes down from above. Again, surely we have nothing to testify against God. But rather, dear friends, we have 10,000 times 10,000 reasons to praise him. We have so much to testify for the Lord, and yet we can only blush that we haven't done so even more. Verses 4 and 5 go on then to recount the works of God on behalf of his people. Again, asking the question and answering himself, what have I done to weary you? Was it that I brought you out of the land of Egypt? Was it how I redeemed you and saved you from that house of slavery? Was it when I sustained your life each and every day, upholding it by the power of my own right hand? Well, dear friends, though you and I have never physically been brought out of the land of Egypt, we have been brought out spiritually from a spiritual Egypt. With Satan as our slave master, Jesus says, he who sins is a slave to sin. And how true that we have all experienced this slavery towards sin. We have all suffered under the reign of sin, death, and the devil, with temptation and fear holding us fast as if with shekels of steel. We've all found ourselves weak within ourselves and lying captive under the strongholds of sin. But oh, how the Lord has redeemed us. Not with gold or silver, he says, but with his holy, precious blood, and with his innocent suffering and death. The Paschal Lamb has been slain, and his blood has set you free. Jesus the Christ, this Lamb of God, has covered you. His blood has freed us from the enslaving power of sin. Christ's blood, when it is applied to the hearts and minds of his people, has this sanctifying effect. It purifies you from all unrighteousness. This we ought to remember, that we were once slaves in our past life. That before the gracious calling of our Lord, who has called us out of darkness and into his marvelous light, we were slaves before that towards our inward desires, to our debased passions and lusts, enslaved to fear and to death. But here's the good news, that now we are told the Lord has rescued us. So he poses the question, why do you leave me? And why, dear friends, do we not freely and daily jump at the blessing then to walk with him all of our days? Why do we rather act as if he has somehow wearied us? And why do we fail to walk according to that which is good? Well, verses 6 and 7 I find instructive for us this morning, because in these verses, it shows us the problem with man's heart. The people begin to respond to God's accusations. You find them afraid of the Almighty's judgment, and so they start crying out, saying, "What shall I do? What shall I come before the Lord with? Shall I come and bow myself down? Shall I bring to him a burnt offering? Will he be satisfied with 1,000 rams or with 10,000 rivers of oil? What if I give him the fruit of my womb, my firstborn son even? Will the Lord be pleased with me then?" You look at this and it's amazing to know just how far man will go, to absurdity even. The Israelites hold nothing back, and you see them going so far as to be willing to offer up rivers of oils and meats. Rivers flowing as if offerings and sacrifices to the Lord. They pose the question, will all of this make the Lord pleased with me? Will all of this make his face smile upon me? Again, I find this comment instructive, for it's interesting to see just how fast people are willing to give things to God. So often, men will be willing to give God anything. They might be willing to give him gold or silver. They can give him energetic and entertaining worship services. They can give him ecstatic music, and they can invent all of these new ways to honor him. Anything and everything they will give to the Lord, except for that which the Lord actually requires. Except for doing justice, loving mercy, and walking humbly with your God. It is a spiritual worship that the Lord so requires of us. God is not amused by externals, nor is he impressed with our outward gifts. You can give God rivers of oil, making the offering plates heavy with your gifts. But if he doesn't have your heart, then you've missed altogether what the Lord truly desires. You look at verse 8 finally, in the last verse, and right off the bat, you get his rebuttal. He has told you, O man, what is good. And right here we see how the worship of God is not of a human invention, nor is true worship done by following the tastes and the preferences of man. But rather, a God-pleasing worship is the subject to revelation. The Lord himself has shown us how he is to be worshipped. And nowhere in Scripture does God ever leave it to man, saying, "Worship me however you please." In fact, routinely, it is the exact opposite. The Lord constantly has these strict means by which we are to come before him. For true worship is not a matter of conjecture. And you don't get to true worship by following your feelings and the desires of how you want to worship God. You can fake spiritual worship all you want through entertainment, but such is not how the Lord has told us to worship Him. Nor does He tell us to worship God off on our own, but rather He demands us to come before Him where He promises He will be, here in the gathering of His people together. The Lord has told you what is good, Micah says. He has told you how to worship Him. So often I find it the case that the problem isn't that we don't know what we are to do. It's rarely the case that we are ignorant of how we are to honor God or to worship Him. The problem more often is that we just prefer not to. We prefer to worship God in our own way and in our own time. We prefer to just go through the motions and saying rote prayers, being physically present, though our hearts can be far from it. We prefer to just put something in the offering plate and calling our service done. But again, God is not impressed with these externals, for He always demands the heart. That is true spiritual worship, when you do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. Read through the scriptures and count just how many times the Lord says that He desires mercy over sacrifice. How many times does He prescribe doing and loving mercy as a way in which we are to worship Him? On the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says that if you come and bring your gift before the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, He says to leave your gift at the altar and first be reconciled to your brother. Only then does He say, come and offer your gift to him. Likewise, James, he says that pure and undefiled religion before God is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep yourself unstained from the world. And so does Paul say this: to present yourselves as if living sacrifices to God. Be a living sacrifice to the Lord by doing good, obeying His laws, and giving yourself in love for your neighbor. The scriptures are so full of the command. Again, the problem isn't that we don't know what we are to do, but so often we just prefer to do things our own ways. We prefer to substitute that which God actually demands with a kind of worship that we invent ourselves. And dear friends, let me close by just mentioning a few things on this idea of walking humbly with our God. It has been well said that walking is a very common pace of life. And that's just how God wants us to live before Him, walking with Him and having communion with Him in the common things. Whether you eat or drink, Paul says, or whatever you do, do for the glory of God. Walking, being the common pace of life, means being with Him, not just on a Sunday morning, but every single day of the week. Walking with Him on Monday through Saturday just as much as on the Lord's Day. Being with Him at work and in the kitchen and in the field and at the store. Walking with Him in the office and in your bedroom. Live and walk as if you are always with the Lord. serving always, as if serving the Lord himself. For what does the Lord require of you, O man, but to walk humbly with your God? Indeed, he is the Emmanuel, always with you. And lastly, do we notice that this is a humble walking? We walk humbly, as with that constant sense of our dependence upon him. For truly, we are, dear friends, walking with him, with that always on our mind, always asking ourselves, why has the grace of God fallen upon me? I who am least worthy of God's mercies, and yet he has bought me with a price. Yet does he invite me to the Lord's table this morning? Dear friends, at the foot of the cross, there is no room to glory. But rather, let him who boasts, boast in this, that Jesus Christ has come to save sinners. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. At this time, would you please stand and join me in a word of prayer? Heavenly Father, you so richly and daily provide for all of our needs, everything we need to support this body and life. You continue to deal graciously with us, and all good things we know and we confess come freely from you. We ask that you would lead us to acknowledge your goodness, and that you would further guide our hearts and minds to praise you. Guard us from the snare of sin and pride, and lead us rather to live for you and for your glory. Strengthen and preserve us in faith and love, and keep us on the straight and narrow all the days of our life until our journey's end, Lord, until when you call us home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And holy God, now you have called us to be your special people, now people set apart for your glory and kingdom. Help us to walk according to the ways of holiness. As you have revealed yourself to us, lead us to come before you in faith. As the way to you is straight and narrow, lead us not to invent our own ways, to worship and come before you, but lead us rather through the blood of Christ. Lead us through the gathering together of your people. And we ask that you would lead us through the forgiveness of sins as you continue to daily cleanse us from our sin and make us holy to stand before you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And gracious Father, in our daily lives we ask for your Spirit's power to lead us to walk humbly before you. As we see ourselves as beggars of grace, we plead that you would lead us to be gracious to those around us. Lead our faith in you to display itself in our own words and actions. Lead us to deal with humility in our day-to-day lives. Lead us to walk humbly before man and being not domineering, not being cruel or unkind. But lead us rather to be slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And great physician, we lift before you those who are struggling in body and soul. This morning we pray especially for Brad Brady Hoff, son of Phyllis. As his health deteriorates, we ask that you would give him your peace and prepare him to stand before your throne, washed in the blood of the Lamb. Give him a living hope knowing that he stands cleansed from all sin and defilement. By your great love, use him to glorify your holy name and to strengthen the courage and resolve of your people around him. Grant peace to the family and friends, and continue to do your mighty work in our midst. We also lift before you all of our shut-ins, asking that you would comfort them with your presence. Be with us also to be your hands and feet towards those in need. Lead us to fulfill righteousness by comforting the hurting and lonely. Those struggling with ailments of body and soul, we also ask for healing and grace. Bring life and health to your servants so that they may continue to glorify you and serve you all their days on earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. For these and for all our needs of body and soul, we ask of you, gracious Father, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Amen. You may be seated. At this time, we worship God with our offerings. Would you please stand for the service of the sacrament? The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give him thanks and praise. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. At your command, Abraham prepared to offer his son Isaac as a sacrifice on the mountain. And yet, in mercy, you provided a ram as a substitute. We give you thanks that on Calvary you spared not your only Son, but sent him to offer his life as a ransom for many. As we eat and drink his body and blood, grant us, like Abraham our father, to trust in your promise now fulfilled in Christ, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all of your sin. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Yeah. Thank you.
Would you please stand? Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through the salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord. Thanks be to God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. Amen. You may be seated for our departing hymn, number 427.
My heart and love.